In the rugged highlands of Scotland, a land steeped in tales of bravery and rebellion, Rob Roy MacGregor carved out his own place in history. Following in the footsteps of figures like William Wallace and Robert the Bruce, Rob Roy's life was filled with daring escapades and challenges. He was born in 1671 in Glengyle at the head of Loch Katrine, a picturesque area to the east of the renowned Loch Lomond. Both these lochs form part of the wider Trossachs, a region celebrated for its breathtaking landscapes where people historically made a living from the land through farming, fishing and forestry. The Trossachs are a region with a turbulent history of conflict and bloodshed, which paradoxically captivates visitors with its natural splendour and dramatic vistas, inspiring countless poets, artists and nature enthusiasts alike. The tranquil waters of Loch Katrine and the majestic surroundings of the Trossachs provided a dramatic backdrop to Rob Roy's formative years. His early life was influenced by the turbulent times of clan warfare and political unrest that characterised Scotland during the late 17th and early 18th centuries. Raised in the clan-dominated society of the Highlands, MacGregor grew up amidst the complexities of clan allegiances, feuds and the struggle for power. From a young age, he was immersed in the traditions and values of his Gaelic heritage, learning the skills of hunting, fighting and survival that were essential for life in the Highlands. Despite the challenges and dangers of his upbringing, Rob Roy showed early signs of the leadership and resilience that would come to define his character. His charisma and natural authority earned him respect and admiration among his peers, and he quickly established himself as a prominent figure within the MacGregor clan. As he matured, MacGregor's reputation as a formidable warrior and cunning strategist grew, and he became involved in the political intrigues and conflicts that plagued Scotland during this tumultuous period. His alliances with powerful men like John Campbell, the second Duke of Argyll, further solidified his influence and stature in the region. Rob Roy's early life was shaped by the harsh realities of Highland existence, but it also laid the foundation for the legendary figure he would become, a symbol of Scottish resilience, bravery, and defiance against oppression. Aged 18, MacGregor, like many Highland clansmen, joined the Jacobite Rising of 1689, supporting the Stuart King, James VII. This uprising, led by John Graham, the first Viscount Dundee, commonly known as Bonnie Dundee, and Sir Ewan Cameron of Lochiel, sought to restore the deposed Stuart King following the Glorious Revolution of 1688. The revolution resulted in the overthrow of King James II of England, or King James VII of Scotland, by his Protestant daughter Mary and her Dutch husband William of Orange. This relatively bloodless revolution established the supremacy of Parliament over the monarchy and ensured Protestant rule in both England and Scotland. James fled to France while William and Mary were jointly crowned as co-monarchs. Despite initial victories, the Jacobite Rebellion faltered with Dundee's death at the Battle of Killiecrankie in 1689. During his father's two-year imprisonment for high treason, MacGregor's mother Margaret's health deteriorated, leading to her passing by the time his father was released. During the 17th and 18th century, like many Scottish clan chiefs, MacGregor managed an extra-legal operation to safeguard the cattle herds of the lowland gentry in exchange for protection money. This income supported the families of his tenants and clansmen, providing guarantees that any stolen cattle were either recovered or compensated for. Known for his cattle expertise, MacGregor was a prominent figure during a time when cattle raiding and offering protection against thefts were common livelihoods. He borrowed a significant sum of money to expand his cattle herd from the Duke of Montrose, but a trusted herder disappeared with the funds, leading MacGregor to default on his loan. Declared an outlaw by Montrose, MacGregor faced dire consequences. his family was evicted from their home at Inversnaid, which was subsequently burned to the ground. The Duke of Montrose then seized his land, sparking a personal vendetta between the two men. MacGregor retaliated by raiding the Duke's cattle and robbing his rents, fueling a private blood feud between the two. In 1716, after living the life of an outlaw, constantly on the move to avoid the clutches of Montrose, MacGregor sought refuge in Glenshira. While living under the protection of John Campbell, the second Duke of Argyll, commonly known as Red John of the Battles, he built himself a house, the ruins of which can still be seen today. Under Argyll's influence, negotiation for an amnesty and protection for Rob Roy were successful, leading to the granting of permission for him to build a house in the glen in exchange for surrendering his weapons. The tale goes that Argyll only received a collection of blunt, rusty old weapons in this exchange. Today, a sporran and dirk handle believed to have belonged to Rob Roy are on display at Inverary Castle, and Inverary is the setting for today's episode. A fortification has stood on the site of the current castle since the 15th century, with the first castle built by the chiefs of the Clan Campbell. The castle has played host to notable figures such as King James V, who stayed for a while in 1533. The original castle stood for close to 200 years before being burnt down by the Marquess of Montrose in 1644 during the Wars of the Three Kingdoms. Construction of the current building started in the 18th century. The castle stands proudly on the shores of Loch Fyne and was designed by renowned architect Roger Morris and later completed by William Adam. The castle's construction marked the relocation of the seat of the Campbell clan, the Dukes of Argyll, from their ancient stronghold of Inverary, reflecting the changing times and a shift in power dynamics. The castle's architecture is a blend of Gothic and neoclassical styles, with its distinctive battlements and turrets giving it a fairy tale appearance. Throughout its history, Inverary Castle has witnessed its share of political upheavals, clan rivalries, and personal dramas. It's been both a fortress and a family home, adapting to the changing needs and fortunes of its inhabitants. Today, the castle remains the ancestral homes of the Dukes of Argyll, and it's open to the public, offering visitors a glimpse into its rich history and the lives of those who've called it home. But many who visit can't shake the feeling of the past echoing around them, leaving them to wonder if the spirits of its previous inhabitants still haunt its walls. However, our story begins to the northeast of the castle, in the place where Rob Roy found a brief period of peace amidst an otherwise turbulent life. If you travel northeast of Inverary for around 5 miles to the northern end of Loch Fyne, you'll come to the mouth of Glenshira. Glenshira unfolds as a rugged expanse framed by towering hills where the whisper of ancient winds seem to carry the echoes of bygone days. This secluded glen, hidden away in the heart of the Highlands, holds a tranquil beauty that belies its history of clan rivalries and battles. Amidst its rolling moors and dense woodland, the glen offers a sanctuary from the chaos of the outside world, a place where nature reigns supreme and time appears to stand still. This stillness was shattered one warm summer day in 1765 when a father and son, both farmers from Glenorry, witnessed a truly bizarre sight. They had spent the day walking to Glenshira to attend some business and, having concluded this, had started the return journey home. Although they had a fair distance to travel, they were used to the long walk, and summer days in Scotland are light, with the sun rising early and setting late. As they approached the Gairn Bridge, the stillness was broken by an ominous and steady rhythm that echoed through the glen. Stopping to listen further, to their shock, they could see a great number of men under arms marching towards them. Marching in regular order, in a formation appearing to be 6 or 7 men abreast, the soldiers, redcoats, walked with purpose along the high road of the glen. The father and son watched in wonder as the awe-inspiring sight of a seemingly endless column of disciplined redcoat soldiers filled the glen, their polished uniforms catching the evening light. It was a scene that spoke of authority and control, leaving the two observers with a mix of admiration and trepidation for what this display of military might could mean for the peaceful glen and its inhabitants. For several minutes the men sat, watching in wonder at what they could see. Not only was this a column of redcoat soldiers, but they could also see women and children walking alongside the flanks of the formation. At one point, they saw what they took to be a stag being cajoled along by men with bayonets, who surrounded it in a circle as they walked. The younger man, curious about what they were witnessing, asked his father, who'd served in the Jacobite uprising of 1745, what regiment these men served. His father felt the army had come from Ireland and must have landed in Kintyre. The father estimated that the column of men was even greater than the number of combatants who'd fought at the Battle of Culloden. Being of fighting age, the son panicked and hid behind a dike, hoping that they hadn't been seen, staying here for several minutes while the bulk of the force passed. Feeling his confidence return, the pair returned to the path and carried on their way, still aware of the huge column on the high road to their side. Once the last of the army had passed, the son turned for one final look, and expecting to see the full column that had marched past them, saw nothing but trees, heather, and bright blue sky. Utterly astounded, neither man could offer an explanation for where this huge army could have gone. The redcoat column had completely disappeared. The village of Inverary sits on the banks of Loch Fyne, a stunning sea loch renowned for its breathtaking beauty and rich maritime heritage. Stretching for over 40 miles, it carves a majestic path through the rugged landscapes of Argyll and Bute, offering mesmerising views of rolling hills, dense forests and serene waters. The loch is famed for its pristine waters, which are home to an abundance of marine life, including Atlantic salmon, seals and otters. It's long been a haven for fishermen and seafood enthusiasts, with its waters yielding some of the finest seafood in Scotland, including the world-renowned Loch Fyne oysters. Along with an abundance of marine life, there may be something else lurking in the waters of dark Loch Fyne. A phantom galleon has been spotted gliding across the waters of the loch, its form resembling the iconic galley depicted on the Campbell's coat of arms. The spectral vessel is crewed by three ghostly figures. Its ethereal presence moving with an unsettling purpose up the loch's expanse before vanishing, mysteriously, on the land. Legend holds that the appearance of this ghostly galley is an omen foretelling the impending death of the Campbell's clan chief. It's believed the phantom ship makes its way onto land to claim the life of the chieftain. In a chilling account from the 18th century, one chief, upon witnessing the spectral ship's approach, was said to have taken his own life, succumbing to poison in the wake of this haunting harbinger. Possibly the most unusual story from Inverary happened not in it, but above it. In 1758, Sir William Bart, a respected physician, was strolling the grounds of Inverary Castle, in the company of a friend and a servant. As they gazed upwards, a surreal sight unfolded before their eyes. High above, a fierce battle seemed to rage in the heavens, with Highland warriors clashing fiercely with French soldiers. The spectral Highlanders appeared to be in retreat, their assault on a French fortress having failed. To their astonishment, two women later came forward, claiming to have witnessed the same ethereal conflict. Weeks passed, and chilling news reached the castle. A Highland regiment from a British force had indeed suffered heavy casualties during an ill-fated attempt to capture the French-held fort of Ticonderoga in Canada. The phantom battle witnessed in the skies above Inverary seemed to foreshadow the grim reality of war thousands of miles away. From 1639 to 1652, Scotland was embroiled in the Wars of the Three Kingdoms, encompassing the Bishops' Wars between Scotland and England, the Irish Rebellion of 1641, the English Civil War, and its Scottish extension, the Irish Confederate Wars, and ultimately the conquest of Ireland and Scotland by the English New Model Army. Within Scotland, a civil war raged from 1644 to 1645 between the Royalists who supported Charles I and who were led by James Graham, the first Marquess of Montrose, and the Covenanters, who had governed Scotland since 1639 and were allied with the English Parliament. Perhaps the most prominent Covenanter of the time was Archibald Campbell, the first Marquess of Argyll. Argyll had become a target for the Marquess of Montrose, who unexpectedly marched on Inverary in December 1644, ultimately forcing Argyll to flee to Rosneath. When the Duke made his hasty departure, he left behind a young Irish harpist who'd been part of his retinue. The boy, finding himself alone and vulnerable in the wake of the Duke's desertion, likely felt a sense of impending doom. And it wasn't long before Montrose's men discovered him. These men, hardened by war and staunchly loyal to their cause, were already suspicious of outsiders. The sight of an Irish boy, aligned with a force they considered enemies, only fueled their fury. In a fit of rage and prejudice, they confronted the young musician. Despite the boy's pleas for mercy and attempts to explain his innocent role as a harpist, the mercenaries were unsympathetic. They saw him as a traitor, aiding their enemy, and decided to make an example of him. The harpist's fate was grim. The Irish mercenaries, seeking revenge for what they perceived as betrayal, inflicted a brutal and merciless punishment on him. His lifeless, dismembered body was left as a gruesome warning, placed deliberately on the Duke's bed to send a chilling message about loyalty and the consequences of perceived treachery. Even after the horrifying incident claimed his life, the young harpist's spirit seemed to cling to the very bed where he met his tragic end. This attachment was so strong that when the bed was moved to the newest part of the castle, into a room known as the MacArthur Room, the ghostly presence of the boy moved with it. Mainly seen by successive Duchesses of Argyll, but rarely by the Dukes, legend has it that the spectral harpist has become an eerie harbinger of death within the castle walls. Whenever a member of the noble family is nearing the end of their days, haunting strains of harp music are said to emanate from the room where the bed now resides. The chilling echo of the harp strings has been a precursor to death for generations. The most recent account of this ghostly occurrence dates back to 1949, when the 10th Duke of the castle passed away, leaving many to wonder about the mysterious connection between the spectral harpist and the impending doom that his music foretells. Within the tranquil confines of the castle gardens lies a relic shrouded in legend. The Blar an Bua Stone, a cairnstone steeped in curse and mystery. According to local lore, the tale unfolds during the tenure of the 3rd Duke of Argyll, who oversaw the construction of the new Inverary town. As the new town took shape, residents of the old settlement sought leases to secure their place in the burgeoning community. Among them was the miller, who, to his dismay, found his petition rejected. Fueled by resentment, the miller left behind his cairnstone, imbuing it with a potent curse. Legend holds that any Duke of Argyll who dares to lay his hands upon the Blar an Bua Stone is doomed to meet his end. Thus the stone stands as a silent reminder, bearing witness to the ancient grudge that lingers within the castle walls. There are two libraries in Inverary Castle, the Green and Brown Libraries. The Green Library in the castle holds more than just books. It harbours a reputation for eerie occurrences that have baffled residents and witnesses alike. Many have reported hearing inexplicable loud bangs echoing from the library's walls, sounds so forceful they shake the very foundations of the room. These mysterious disturbances have often been attributed to restless spirits or the residual energy of past events that took place within the castle's walls. One evening, according to a former owner of the castle, a tremendous commotion shattered the peace. The noise sounded like dozens of books being thrown to the floor inside the locked library. Despite thorough investigations, where no items were found out of place and every book remained neatly on its shelf, the mystery sounds persisted. Each time the room was emptied and securely locked, but the unexplained noises would resume. Strangely, the sounds are normally only heard by members of the Campbell clan, despite other people being present. Some speculate that the noises are echoes of ancient conflicts or cries of long-departed souls seeking to make their presence known. Despite many attempts to unravel the mysteries behind these unsettling sounds, the source remains elusive, adding to the castle's mysterious appeal. The Brown Library is also said to be visited by an equally noisy, although rather more melodic spirit, that of a phantom piper who's been regularly heard playing from the balcony in the library. The castle also holds tales that go beyond the usual pomp and ceremony of its noble inhabitants. One such story speaks of the raucous spirit of a former laundry maid who's chosen to remain within its walls long after her mortal days. This spirited maid was known during her time for her boisterous nature and infectious laughter, which echoed through the castle's corridors as she went about her daily chores. Her laughter, loud and cheerful, became a familiar sound to those who lived and worked within the castle's walls. Although it's not known for sure why she continues to linger, many believe that tragedy struck one fateful day, and the maid met with a fatal accident in the old kitchen. Since that day, her laughter has continued to echo through the castle, often heard coming from the vicinity of the laundry room. Visitors and staff alike have reported hearing cheerful laughter, sometimes accompanied by the sounds of water sloshing and fabrics rustling, as if she is still diligently carrying out her duties. Despite her lively presence, the maid is said to be harmless, her spirit simply lingering to relieve the joyous moments of her past life. Her playful antics serve as a reminder of the castle's rich history and the many souls who've called it home over the centuries. A more sombre presence is that of a young woman from the 1700s, believed to have met a tragic end at the hands of a Jacobite soldier. Her spirit is said to roam the castle's corridors, her mournful presence felt and occasionally seen by those who wander its halls. Along with the castle, there's another building in Inverary that's earned a reputation as one of the most haunted locations in Argyll, possibly even Scotland, Inverary Jail. Built in 1820, the jail served as a prison for nearly 70 years, until it closed its doors in 1889. It was designed by the renowned architect Thomas Brown, who gave the building its distinctive neo-Gothic style that stands out even today. The conditions within Inverary Jail during its operational years were notoriously harsh. In the old prison block, men, women and children were housed together in cramped cells, often without adequate sanitation or heating, making it a grim place to be incarcerated. In 1839, a new jail was built to meet the needs of the Prisons Act. This three-story block allowed for separation of prisoners and improved overall standards for those incarcerated. The new facility took on a dual function, serving as both a jail and a courthouse, and reflected the changing needs of the justice system, providing a more modern and efficient space to handle legal proceedings. In 1889, Barlooney Prison was opened in Glasgow, and this signalled the end of Inverary as a jail. Today, the jail stands as a museum, offering visitors a glimpse into the harsh realities of 19th century prison life. The exhibits provide insights into the daily lives of prisoners, the judicial system of the time, and the social conditions that led people to end up behind bars. The museum is a testament to the history of crime and punishment in Scotland, preserving the stories and experiences of those who once called Inverary home. Yet behind its historical displays, whispers persist of the jail's troubled past, suggesting that the spirits of its former residents may still roam its corridors. Some people have reported hearing the giggles and whispers of children echoing in empty cells, particularly in cell 2. The disembodied voices are especially chilling when considering the jail's grim past, where entire families, including innocent children, were locked away for minor infractions. In cell 4, eerie phantom footsteps frequently resound through its chilling, dim passageways. They creep closer, inch by haunting inch, towards the cell door. Yet, when they reach their destination, no trace of their elusive owner can be found. Dark, shadowy figures have been seen silently moving between the cells, their elusive forms slipping through the darkness, leaving an unsettling presence in their wake. Those who have been brave enough to go into the cell where a figure has just entered are shocked to find them empty. A large man, thought to be a violent ex-prison guard, is regularly seen in the new prison. His presence is said to be felt as the temperature drops and the atmosphere darkens, before he is seen angrily walking up and down the corridors, staring in the now empty cells. Cell number 1, which housed female prisoners, is said to be haunted by two poor, unfortunate souls who were imprisoned here not long after the jail opened. Their mournful cries can still be heard, and occasionally their wretched apparitions are witnessed huddled in the corner of the room. A few years ago, I took my daughter to visit for her birthday. She walked around the old jail quite happily, but she refused to set foot in the new jail and wouldn't go within a couple of feet of the doorway. Whatever, or whoever lingers there, seems to hold an unseen power and presence, leaving an impression that even a child can sense. I hope that one day, those unfortunate enough to have been incarcerated here can eventually find peace. The land upon which Inverary Castle and jail stands has borne witness to centuries of history, holding on to tales that time has failed to erase. From the days of clan warfare to the whispers of ghostly apparitions, both the castle and jail encapsulate the rich tapestry of the town's past. The haunting echoes of redcoat footsteps in Glen Shearer, the phantom galley gliding across Loch Fyne, and the spectral Highlanders battling in the skies above are just a few threads woven into the fabric of their history. Inverary Castle, with its ancient walls and sprawling gardens, stands as a testament to Scotland's enduring spirit, a place where history resonates and refuses to fade. The jail, now a museum, remains one of the most haunted locations in Argyll, its corridors resonating with the whispers of those who once called it home. People often find themselves captivated, drawn into the mysteries that linger within its walls. As you explore the castle's grand rooms and the jail's haunting cells, remember, you're following in the footsteps of legends, treading paths once walked by warriors, poets, and the spirits of old. Whether you're a history enthusiast, a ghost hunter, or simply curious about the past, Inverary offers an unforgettable journey through time. So come, step into a world where past and present intertwine, where every stone and tree carries a story waiting to unfold. And who knows, you might just encounter a ghostly resident or two, eager to share their tales from the other side.